A furious fourth quarter rally was not enough on Friday as Nebraska fell to Iowa on a last second field goal to lose 31-28. Despite the loss, the Huskers never stopped fighting during a slugfest in Iowa City. We'll recap that game and get a handle on the 2018 Nebraska football season with former Huskers Zach Potter. Sean Callahan will also stop by to update us on Big Red recruiting. It's all coming up next on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. Hi, everybody. I'm Kevin Kugler. Welcome to NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. The 2018 season feels like it just started, and here we are on the back end of the 2018 season after the Huskers had yet another close loss to close the year 31-28 in Iowa City. Lots of optimistic things, though, to take from that game and from the season as a whole. We'll dive into the Iowa game here tonight with former Huskers Jay Moore and Damon Benning by my side. And, you know, it's 4-8 is not what anybody was looking for when this season started. I certainly don't think Scott Frost was walking around Lincoln going, man, if we could just go 4-8 this year, that'd really be good. They weren't looking for that. But I do think they walk out of this thing feeling like they have much improved this program from where they started.
Oh, without a doubt. You go back-to-back 4-8 seasons. Not all 4-8 seasons are created equally. You know, it's how they finished last year with the turnover of the program and how the season started and how it steadily just climbed and climbed and climbed. And they got better throughout the year, and they improved. Noticeable improvement offensively, defensively, special teams. People are feeling better. A few games go a different way. You're playing in a bowl game, but it is what it is. You build it off season. You get your tails back in the weight room here in the next couple weeks before finals. Build back up, and you come back in January hungry and ready to attack 2019.
Yeah, I think the off season is the key. The emotional part of it has grown immensely. And now it's the physical level that will continue to improve, and you'll get that done in the weight room. Continuing to compete every day, understanding the protocol and how to do the day-to-day regimen, that's starting to come. I think you maybe will have another guy or two leave the program, and that always helps. And I say that with all, you know, affection. But listen, you know, you're either committed and you're here, or you're not and you want to do something else. And you continue to put things in the calendar and see what stays and what sticks and get back in the weight room. I think that definite uptick.
Cooking with Damon and Colander's coming up later on in the show. There's lots to get to tonight, including that. We can't do it without you. The guys of Phi Kappa Theta are in-house tonight to answer your phone calls. While they're with us tonight, they're also enjoying some Valentino's pizza. Manning the call center tonight, our NET Sports intern, Hannah. We'll talk with her a little bit later on in the show. Feel free to text or email your comments or questions this evening. BigRed@netnebraska.org is where you can reach us. You can also stop by our social media pages, leave a comment on Facebook or tweet at us throughout the show. We're checking all of those all night long. Here's this week's all-new sideline survey. Did the season turn out the way you thought it would? Yes, it was a tough schedule. No, they played hard enough to win 2 to 3 more games, or were you always looking forward to 2019? Anyway, right now, 74% of you, the vast majority, say no. They played hard enough to win 2 or 3 more games. Go to our website right now and cast your vote. Damon, you were talking about the physical nature of the game and the offseason needing to get stronger, needing to get bigger. That really seemed like it was underlined in that Iowa game to me, that there was a physical strength gap between Nebraska and a team like Iowa.
It was woefully apparent. First couple of drives, right away, you figured, all right, not really strong enough at the point of attack on the offensive or defensive side of the ball. And when you start to string together double-digit drives, you know, with Nebraska on defense, that's a strength and development number, right? I mean, double-digit drives is I'm bigger, stronger, tougher than you. The third down conversions, I think, were the same. And to a little bit of my surprise, on the other side, Nebraska's inability to run the football a little bit better from the running back spot was a little surprising to me as well. So I definitely think that was a physicality thing.
How quick a fix is that, Jay?
Well, I tell you what, it's not an easy fix. I think you got to get bigger, you got to get stronger, you got to get faster, obviously, on the defense or even on offensive line. But Nebraska defensively, they're short a couple dudes in my opinion.
Oh yeah,
they're short a good D lineman that they can build that three man front around. They're short an outside linebacker that they can build that 3-4 total. They're short another probably an inside linebacker. You get Will Honus back next year. You have Mo Berry coming back, and they're still short in the secondary. I think this defense is going to take some time. I think to get it to where Scott Frost and Eric Chenander want it. Strength and conditioning wise, I think you get them another year in this program with Zach Duvall. I think they'll get there. But again, they just don't have those guys that you can say, you know what? I know when it's 3rd and 7, we can make a couple calls here. But I know he can get to the quarterback. I know he can get to the quarterback. I know we can count on him to make a play. I just don't know if they have those guys yet. But I think there's some guys down the line, and some guys are recruiting right now, out on the road trying to find.
Yeah, the human erasers, we like to call those guys. They can defy scheme. Yeah, you know, the Levante Davids, the year one Randy Gregory's. Now Terrell Farley was a little different because he was playing with a lot of those guys. But there are those people that you're talking about that scheme doesn't matter. Those guys will find a way to make a play, whether they're within the scheme or not.
Does Nebraska have one of those guys at quarterback?
They do. They do. I thought that if he was the best player on the field on Friday, they would win. And it's that simple. Now, I don't know whether you're encouraged or discouraged by that, because we saw when he's humming along and playing well, that offense is nothing short of amazing. When he's not playing well, it is fairly average. So if you believe that he will be the all-conference caliber, maybe potential All-America caliber, there's bright days ahead. But you did get the sense if he had an off day, that offense came and went as he did.
He did some good things. Offensive line struggled at times with Nelson and guys getting the rush. At times, he has done so many good things so well this year, but his inability to kind of climb in the pocket, and he just hangs on the ball just a tick too long, which is surprising for a young quarterback. Usually they're wanting to get that ball out of their hands very, very fast, but he almost hangs on it just a little too long to let the rush kind of get there. You know, that three second buzzer needs to go off his head a little quicker sometimes.
Yeah, playmakers always want to make plays, and he's highly competitive, so he's going to squeeze that thing as long as he can. I cheer for a guy in the NFL that drives me crazy, Ben Roethlisberger. You know, sometimes you're just like, hey, get rid of it. But with Adrian Martinez, the two things that I think can really get him to superstar level are very fixable. Better control of the football under duress in the pocket. Don't be as loosey-goosey going into contact. And then just the intermediate quick passing game. He's much better sometimes the more difficult the throw is. The easier the throw, you get kind of the flick of the wrist or maybe not as sound mechanics because he's got such a good arm. You start to play catch in that 12 to 10 yard range and complete those easy throws, he could easily adjust his percentage another 4% without hesitation.
How much of his improvement will come from what we saw in the Iowa game and then moving forward with more talent around him?
Well, I think that's going to happen. There's no question about that. But let's remember what we're building with. You got a 6'2.5", 224-pound 18-year-old. And his size and strength and speed will continue to increase.
And his savvy will, too.
See, that may be his best attribute.
Mm-hmm.
His poise may, and his ability to, and this kind of goes along with poise, but he has a very short memory. And not only do you need that as a cornerback, you need it as a quarterback as well. He definitely possesses that. He's on to the next play, and he's processing it.
There's not too many true freshman quarterback that your head coach can go to on a two-point play and say, hey, we're going to go this, but if that's not there, you got to make something happen. I mean, there's not too many other 17, 18-year-old quarterbacks you can say that to, and did make something happen to tie that ball game. It's pretty impressive.
That was one of the better plays, improvised plays, that he's made all year, and he's made several improvised plays, but that came certainly at a clutch moment. And I think that underlined one of the things that you did learn about this culture as it developed. Because really, and we've talked about this all year long, this thing's been broken for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't just over the last 3 years that Nebraska's program got broken. It's been up and down with Band-Aids put on from time to time over the course of the years, and those Band-Aids have long peeled off. How much of that culture showed up in Friday's game when they fell behind as big as they did and were able to come back on the road?
Well, I think it was starting to really reveal itself, right? I can't remember the line in the song. She's your favorite singer, but Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes, right? And with Nebraska, we saw that. But on Friday, as Adrian Martinez got going, especially when it was, 28-20, like that drive where he was using his legs, he was poised in the pocket. He was creative in the passing game, keeping plays alive. That really picked up, and you got the sense for the first time in a long time that Nebraska believed that they were going to win a game that they weren't supposed to win on the road in crunch time. All those things hadn't come together yet, and you got the sense that they were on the cusp.
Yeah, that game was interesting because I think in every football game there's always a time and point where it can go one way, where either it's going to get blown out, which I thought it was really close to happening.
The fake field goal.
And Iowa did do us some favors now. That, yeah. I mean, that fake field goal there. Hey, thank you.
Turn the game around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it did.
It did 100%. And we fought. I thought, oh, I'm like, oh, man, we are teetering on this thing getting out of hand. And we didn't. We fought and we made plays. You get the fake punt, but and they're backed up. That's a crazy call right there. And all of a sudden, you're like, holy smokes, we're back in this ball game. You're 28-28, and you obviously don't come on top. But this game could have went the other way really quick, and it didn't.
That was one of the weirder sections of a college football game I think I've seen all year, where you go from fake field goal, fake punt, wrong spots on the field to do it. Right. I mean, that was – you're watching that game and you're thinking, none of this meshes with what you normally see at this time in a football game.
And if you go to the conventional place where the game may have turned is the drive right before the half for Iowa. Because Nebraska had a chance to get off the field a couple of times.
There's a fourth and – was it the fourth and two play?
Fourth and two, mm-hmm. And – if they don't, you kind of wonder how that emotional pendulum may have swung. But Iowa doing very Iowa things on that drive. And Nebraska trying to still figure out how to be stout at the point of attack, right? We've seen them play defense a couple of different ways. We've seen them against power spread teams like Ohio State. We've seen them against true spread teams like Illinois. What we haven't seen is them under a Wisconsin or an Iowa that will line it up with traditional handoff run game in 21 or 22 personnel and really be able to go there. That's the, I think, in my opinion, the next phase for this defense.
And I think those are the programs that are going to continue to plague Nebraska over the next several years.
Good point.
The stout programs that can just line up and say, in other words, what Nebraska used to be. Those are the programs that will plague this Nebraska in the short term. It's not something that can't be mitigated a little bit, but in the short term, I think it's going to be an issue.
It's so cyclical, too, because remember, Coach Osborne built his defense to beat his nemesis. That was Oklahoma.
Right.
Right? They get in a 50. You have the two strong, stacked inside linebackers. You want to cover up those guards, and you want to play that game in a phone booth, right? You can stop Veer and trap and get out on the edges and run and then all of a sudden there was Florida State and Miami. And it's like, oh my goodness, we're stuck in this 50. How do we beat these spread teams that can get in the gun and throw it around the yard? Very similar quandary for Coach Frost and this staff, except there's not just one style of your nemesis in the conference, there's a few. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin doesn't play like Ohio State. Michigan doesn't play like Iowa. So it's what do you do defensively that gives you the best chance to win conference championships and be able to contain it all without needing to be littered with 4 and 5 stars. That's the unique challenge.
So it is. It's very challenging but I look at it as, I mean, football to me is still about winning the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And when you play those teams, whether it's the power spread in Ohio State, it's the spread, what Northwestern does, what Iowa and Wisconsin do, honestly, if Wisconsin's offensive line is 1A, if Wisconsin's offensive line was 1A, I'd put Iowa's 1B. That's how they operate. Kirk Ferentz is a heck of an offensive line coach.
Yeah, they dance, don't
mm-hmm.
they?
They're good. They're so unison, and those stretch plays and how you can the cutbacks, how they get you running. It's a thing of beauty. You get those boys up front to get the talent, and you get them to shoot their hands and to headbutt people and via the neck type of stuff that you're taught from day one in camp. And to separate and establish yourself in the line of scrimmage, all of a sudden, those stretch plays, those they ain't going nowhere. You set the edge. Nebraska struggled doing that. They didn't have an edge set all day. You got the cutback.
On both sides. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you have the guy, you know, Ferguson struggled playing, not coming down the line of scrimmage, taking Stanley on the quarterback. But I tell you what, you can take care of those offenses, all those offenses, by playing solid up front. And Nebraska struggled there mightily all year.
Well, it's rare when you watch a Kirk Ferentz coached Iowa offensive line that first and second step aren't always in unison, same across from left to right tackle. It's fascinating to watch.
And it was, I think we said this to somebody. I said, I don't know, maybe I talk too much. There's no question about that.
Amen. Oh, I'm sorry.
But the deal was, you didn't want to be the defense that got Iowa's run game healthy. They hadn't been that the second half of the season. And then all of a sudden, they can get in double tight, and Fanton Hawkinson, or you didn't know whether to play him in a six, a seven. Did you go, do you really want to go head up? You don't want free releases? Nebraska was in a bind.
They were. They were in four eyes.
That's tough.
That's the hardest spot to play defense. Four eyes is brutal.
You better be a full-grown man.
Mm-hmm. It must be tough if you're both saying it in unison. Let's take a look at the highlights from Friday's game. That seems like 1,000 years ago. I mean, my goodness, we've all eaten turkey. We've done all this stuff, and now we're watching football again. 3rd and 8, and this was a big play here. Hawkinson to the 48-yard line converts on the 3rd down. Stanley, he was solid today in this game, today being Friday, if I were doing this on Friday, which I'm not because it's not today anymore. But then Stanley continues on from the 15-yard line. The toss into the end zone, Smith with the catch, 7-0. The lead capping an 11-play, 79-yard drive. They made it look easy at times during that drive. Martinez coming back to work now for the Huskers. 3rd and 6, Nebraska converts. How about Stanley Morgan going up and going down? 45-yard line for the first down. Adrian Martinez using his wheels down to the Iowa 24-yard line. Got a glimpse as the season went on about how Nebraska's going to use tight ends as they go along. Jack Stoll got more and more involved. Gets in here on the dive for the end zone, 7-7. The score, Huskers back even. But here come the Hawkeyes again. I mean, there were times during this game where you just wondered if Nebraska was ever going to be able to get a stop, because there were a lot of openings for this Iowa offense to get things going. Second quarter begins with a 2nd and goal at the 4-yard line, and it ends with a touchdown there. 13-play, 85-yard drive, and it's 14-7. Iowa with the lead. Huskers, though, come back. Maurice Washington, speaking of a guy who can get stronger, bigger, and faster in the weight room, he will over the course of the offseason. He'll be fun to watch. You've seen what he can do a little bit just as a freshman who's barely had any time to get his nutrition or his weight game right. Down to the Iowa 17, their drive stalls. Barrett Pickering, tip of the cap to Barrett Pickering. He had a really rough first half of the year, and he really figured it out as the year
responded emotionally, and good on him.
Yeah, I mean, that was not an easy. Nobody's talking about you when you're doing it right. Everybody's talking about you when you're missing. And he really came on as the year went along. 2nd and 7 here for the Hawkeyes. How about an 8-yard run down to the Nebraska 45 to get another first down? A few plays later at the 15-yard line, and an opportunity, but no stoppage and a touchdown. 15-play, 85-yard drive. A lot of double-digit play, a lot of long drives. 21-10 Iowa, trying to run away with it. Martinez, though, coming back late in the second quarter. Good catch by Stanley Morgan. That sets up the Pickering field goal as time expires. They got a second chance at it, and he makes it. 21-13, Nebraska down at the break, but a little bit of momentum. Iowa trying to take that momentum away. Huskers unable to get anything done right away. Hawkeyes come out, 21 yards to Smith to the Nebraska 19-yard line. Sargent 9 yards down to the Nebraska 5-yard line. And then Stanley to Sargent, touchdown. And you're at that point, Damon, thinking, uh-oh, the route's on right
now. Yeah, the dam was pretty leaky. I saw the dribbles and all of a sudden, it found a way to get plugged, and it started with this drive.
It did, and this drive didn't look like it was going to be anything that started to plug anything. In fact, it looked like it was going to open things up. But how about this? 4th and 2, and a fake field goal. And this changed the entire momentum of everything going on here. Gifford gets the tackle around the ankles, finishing it off. So then Nebraska can't anything going. From their own 9-yard line, it's a fake punt, and it's Gifford. Who gets out? He took a little punishment at the end of that.
Yes, he did.
But he got the first down.
Knew right where he was going. That's harkens back to his high school days when he played some offense.
So then the Huskers on a 4th and 2. 4th down's not exactly been kind to Nebraska very often this year, but they convert on this one.
9 of 21 on the season, yet 5 of 5 in this one.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Mo Washington into the end zone, captain the 14-play, 98-yard drive. And all of a sudden, you're thinking, here they go. Here come the Huskers. And then you're thinking, here they don't go. Yeah. This one right here, that's big.
And one bad ball.
One bad ball he threw at a bad time. Here comes the Hawkeye offense again. There were times during this game, Damon, where I wondered, why aren't they running the ball more?
Yeah, just the fitting in the run game and falling down, right? You got a chance to make a play. You need to fit in the run game and make a stop.
Big miss here, though, as the Huskers get a little life thanks to the miss. This field goal would have made it really difficult for Nebraska. Huskers come back, though. Jack Stoll again. This 18 yards, breaking some tackles, knocking guys over down to the 38-yard line. Adrian Martinez, designed quarterback run.
Thought we'd see more of that early, but better late than never.
And then Martinez into the end zone for the touchdown. It's a 3-yard score. And then, if it doesn't work, improvise. All right, time to improvise. Adrian Martinez. How about Cade Warner?
The throw, though.
Yeah.
Try that at home. Just jog to your right, throw it back towards the middle, and see how accurate you can be.
You're probably volunteering to be the guy that hits me after I throw it.
It's unbelievable, especially when you're in his sight line.
4th and 8, big conversion here, and then this field goal wins the game, sending Husker fans home heartbroken and sending Iowa to their 4th straight win against the Huskers. There were a lot of talk when the Huskers joined the Big Ten if this could ever really develop into a rivalry. Well, it's kind of gotten lopsided over the last 4 years. Iowa has certainly done their job against Nebraska, and I think you can call it a rivalry at this point.
Yeah, it's nasty.
And yep.
Just imagine when the games are actually be Big Ten West title worthy.
Well, it's time to go deeper into the playbook. Jay Moore is in the huddle.
Okay, spent a lot of time this year talking offense, defense. I haven't spent a lot of time special teams, but we got to break down the two big plays late in the game here, obviously with the fake field goal and the fake punt. We'll start with the fake punt first here. And really, these two plays, let's just talk about Luke Gifford because he's the man behind both plays. But we look here. Nebraska's honestly just going to run a little power play in this, honestly. They're going to down, kick out. Direct snap here to Luke Gifford. Great job. You get the kick out here. Really has an alley here. Doesn't take it. Bounces it outside. Uses athletic ability, his offensive high school, as Damon highlighted too. And now we're gonna look at the fake field goal now. This is just a simple shovel pass. Now, Iowa, I think, it ran about 5 fake field goals already early in the year. So they're alert to, they've seen enough on the film to know what they've done in the past. So they're going to run the simple shovel pass here with the tight end. Now, Luke Gifford, highlighted right here. He's the man that's going to diagnose this all. You get the highlight. Now, Mo Berry right here, my man sacrifices. They do a good job of setting their edge here, and Mo gets caved down. But it clears things up, honestly, in this situation now for Luke Gifford to go make a play. You get the shovel pass here. You get Boodle right here with good vision on the holder. Now, Luke sees the pitch, goes and makes a play. Good help here from Neil and Diedrich Young to help clean it up. And Nebraska makes 2 great special teams plays to help keep themselves in the ball game in Iowa City.
Got to make a play there, and they did on that fake field goal. It was a head scratcher, and you know, Kirk Ferentz over the last couple of years has changed from the most conservative guy in the league to Riverboat Kirk.
Yeah, he'll take some chances.
He'll take a lot of chances. That was a huge chance taken there. It didn't pay off, but his team ends up getting the win either way. Next up on the wrap up, we're going to be joined by former Husker Zach Potter, who's as good a golfer as Jay Moore, maybe. But now, hear about how you can help support NET.
Thanks very much, Kevin. I'm Perry Stoner here with Ian Vosburgh here in the studio. We're very excited to be here on Big Red Wrap-Up this week to invite you to be part of the NET sports team. You tune in every week during the Nebraska football season for the in-depth Husker knowledge and conversation that you love. We've got some great thank you gifts when you join the NET Sports Partners Club.
You know, it really does take a team here at NET Sports to bring you all the action. You know, you're part of that team too, and your membership and financial support is an important part that makes it all happen. Here's your chance to say, yes, I want to help. I want to join Team NET. Give us a call right now at 800-989-8236 or go online to netnebraska.org/donate and we'll get your membership set up with some of these great thank you gifts. We have a 6 DVD collection of Husker Century 1, 2, and 3, Coach Osborne More Than Winning, and A Day in the Life of Husker Football, Walk-Ons Husker's Edge, and Tom Osborne A Legacy Beyond the Game. These are all NET productions that we've done in the past about Husker football, and that's yours when you make a contribution of $15 or more as an NET sustaining star member. If you'd rather a $10 a month contribution, we have a three-disc collection of Husker Centuries Parts 1, 2, and 3. Learn all about the history of Husker football. Also at that $10 monthly level, we have an NET Sports Partners Club fleece jacket, perfect for that cooler weather that we're experiencing in Nebraska. Then at $8 a month, we have the pewter replica of Memorial Stadium. We only have 10 of these left, so go ahead and make your phone call right now. Become a member of NET. The number to call is 800-989-8236, or you can go online to netnebraska.org/donate.
Ian, you love sports. I love sports. We all love sports, especially right here on NET, and especially Nebraska athletics, from Husker football to Nebraska volleyball and baseball and more. But that's not all. NET brings you live coverage of several high school championships, too. Just recently, we saw football, volleyball, and we also have girls and boys basketball, wrestling, swimming and diving, and so much more. We like to say NET is Nebraska's home for sports, and it's true.
Yeah, we heard from a couple members today, Lisa from Gehring and Maureen from Chapman, who said that they love Husker volleyball and the NSAA championships on NET. So go ahead and join the NET Sports Partners Club. And as a member of that club, you'll be invited to special events that we're hosting in the studio. And you can also tour the studio. You'll get a behind the scenes look at how live sports at NET come together. And it's a great way to see all the action behind the scenes at NET from our production team. So go ahead and make your contribution right now. The number to call is 800-989-8236, or you can go online to netnebraska.org/donate.
For a $180 contribution, just $15 a month, you can get a complete six DVD set. There are actually seven programs on these six DVDs, a collection that any Husker fan would like to have. For a $120 contribution, you can get the three DVD set, Husker Century 1, 2, and 3, three documentaries that NET produced over the years about the Husker football program. Or for that same contribution level of $120, you can get the NET Sports Partners fleece, or for a $96 contribution, the pewter replica of Memorial Stadium. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Let's go back to Kevin right now on Big Red Wrap-Up.
Guys, thank you so much. We welcome you back over to the Big Red Wrap-Up set, and joined by our NET Sports intern, Hannah, who's here to help us walk through some of the world of social media.
Oh, yeah. This week, there was a lot of good tweets out there.
Really?
Sure. Oh,
are you sure? All right, what do you have for
us? Our first tweet is from Barstool Skurs, going along with the theme of Thanksgiving, since the game was the day after Thanksgiving. And this year, they were thankful for Scott Frost, which I'm sure a lot of Husker fans could definitely relate to a little bit.
All right, so we got that. What else you got?
Yeah, our second tweet is from Chris, and he was responding to Coach Chin's tweet about being thankful for the fans, the players, and the coaches, and especially the seniors for this season. And Chris replied with thank you to Coach Picasso, because he drew this nice drawing on Scott Frost on a magazine cover, it looks like, that he signed for them. Yeah, and our third tweet is from Stanley Morgan Jr. With three pictures. Really great moments during the season for Morgan, and just thanking the fans and Husker Nation. Super thankful for him as well.
Yeah, terrific career wrapping up for Stanley Morgan Jr. Hannah, thank you so much. Thank you. We've got a winner in our game day photo contest this week. Samantha Goodrich sent in this photo, her sons Max and Meyer, who weren't taking sides last Friday between their Hawkeye dad and their Nebraska mom. Thanks for sharing with us. Samantha won the hashtag Big Red Wrap-Up Tee, a coffee tumbler, and a copy of the NET program Tom Osborne, A Legacy Beyond the Game. Speaking of legacies, I mean, we got a legacy guest with us tonight. Former Husker Zach Potter joining us on Big Red Wrap-Up. You look like you could go out and run down the field, run a few routes still.
I could run a few routes. I mean, I think I could have caught more than one pass than like Noah Fant did against us last
week. Oh, man.
Shots fired!
Man, Zach Potter out of the gates roaring here.
I got a small window. I got to take advantage of it.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. Yeah, and then as Damon mentioned earlier, he talks way too much. So we got to give him some room here as well. You obviously watched that Iowa game and the usage of Noah Fant notwithstanding. What did you take away from that game specifically and from this season as a whole?
I think it was a an up and down season, roller coaster, if you will. Some great moments by our team, some bad moments by our team, some good decisions by players, coaches a little bit. But I think ultimately it was great to see them fight the last half of the season. You know, the first half with some of those, the way those losses went, the season could have went a lot farther south than it did. They could have quit. You know, Jay talked a little bit earlier about how that game against Iowa almost teetered the other way and it could have been a blowout. I think early in the season, if that would have been the same circumstances, I think, I don't know if we would have came back like we did. So I think it was good.
How difficult is that as a player to develop that sort of ability to bounce back? Not that you want to be bouncing back from losses, but everybody's got to do it at some point.
Well, it's tough. I mean, especially with the way those guys, especially some of the seniors, you know, going through what they've went through the last 3 years or even 4 years for some of those guys, you know, some of those guys had three coaches. And being able to commit to Coach Frost and his staff and all the ways that everything that they have kind of ingrained in these guys to turn around and create that new foundation for the future. I think it was difficult for those guys as players to overcome some of those circumstances throughout the year.
When you talk about multiple coaches, some of those DBs saw five or six positions. There were seven defensive backs coaches at Nebraska since 2014. That's a lot of turnover in that room for those kids as they try to figure out what they're doing. The stability of the program seems to be one of the big selling points with the end of the first year of the Scott Frost regime. I mean, we're not going to have any changes to deal with this year.
No, I think that's a great point is, you know, seeing, you know, you see it more, I think, in college basketball and some of these aspects of recruiting and how long these coaches' contracts are. But knowing that Coach Frost has the contract that he has and knowing that his staff's going to have the time, maybe more so than other coaches if they would have come to Nebraska, to create that new foundation and I hate the word rebuild, but kind of, you know, overcome some of those things. And I think that's encouraging too for the recruiting aspect, knowing that those guys, if they come here, they're going to have 4 or 5 years with the same coaching staff in a lot of different ways.
Zach, you and I both went through coaching changes while we were at Nebraska. I was obviously from Coach Solich to Coach Callahan. You're from Coach Callahan to Coach Pelini. Going through those with the scheme change, all this stuff. But this year, going through the scheme changes, offensively, defensively, anything kind of catch you by surprise in a good way or in a bad way with this team looking at this 4-8 football season?
I think it was impressive, and obviously a guy like Adrian Martinez really helps that transition. But, you know, having the offense that they ran, not saying that, you know, we saw Tristan transfer, can't even think of the other guy's name.
Patrick O'Brien
transfer. You know, you see some of that transition there. So it would have been interesting to see how this offense would have happened with one of those guys at the helm compared to Adrian Martinez if we wouldn't have got him, say, as a recruit. So having a guy like that in place really helps, I think, the offense. And I think even, you know, they ran a 3-4 type of scheme under Riley, so that kind of helped kind of start some of the transition in your head of here's what a base 3-4 does. Now, I know the 3-4 we did this year compared to last year is different, but so I think some of those things did help the transition aspect a lot for sure.
JHF Sitter Guy, which is the Twitter handle. I don't know what it means. It's got a picture of a dog. Maybe JHF is an odd name for a dog.
Dog sitter?
Would like opinion on not going for it on 4th and 2 when very deep in the red zone.
It's
no
just,
opinion.
It's a position battle. You go back and forth. I mean, there were so many weird kind of, you know, you guys talked about the fake punt or the fake field goal and then our fake punt. I mean, who would have thought that we'd go for a fake punt on our own, like, 5-yard line? I mean,
right.
We were still kind of in the game there. And if we don't get that, it's a complete turn of events in that whole game. So it's just you got to weigh the pros and cons of each situation. And sometimes the risk is worth it. Sometimes it's not.
Mark says, can a talent gap in relation to the Big Ten really be made up in the weight room? What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think you first have to start with where you thought the talent gap revealed itself the most. If you look at recruiting, it should have been Ohio State, but the game didn't play out that way. If you look at Michigan, which would be the next biggest, than it did. So I think if you're Nebraska or you're part of the fan base, you have to control the things that you can control. And that's getting better in the weight room. You can't always get the 4- and 5-star guys. You try to do what you can do physically and emotionally in the weight room. And then you try to play in a style that's conducive to giving you a chance to win. If talent always won, we wouldn't watch television. And so I think we have to be very cognizant of that what's good for another program in terms of a 4- or 5-star may not be good in another program in the same vein. It's different.
I've said all along, especially a Nebraska kid, whether it's a walk-on or a scholarship guy, is going to outwork a 4- or 5-star most days in the Nebraska weight room or the Nebraska football program all day, every day. Just because I think those guys understand the traditions, all the history, whether some of these young kids haven't seen Nebraska be where they were in the 90s, but their parents have, and they've kind of had the snowball effect down to the kids of here's what these guys used to be like, here's what you need to do, and if you can get to that program, you're going to work harder than some of those guys.
That's coming from a 4 or 5 star.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he had
who happens to be a Nebraska kid.
Yeah, he had both of those things going for him. He had the stars and he had the Husker lineage.
Yeah.
What am I going to say? I was great.
Don't get me wrong on the off season, the weight and that big leaps and bounds you made there. But my favorite saying, as always, though, is weights never fight back. And you can lift all the weights you want, but you still got to be tested mentally. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what these guys have gone through here with close games and kind of getting physically manhandled a little bit, they'll come back up and they'll get better from that as well, not only in the weight room, just because, but going through those Wisconsin O-lines and Iowa D-lines as well, getting punched in the face and punched in the mouth and be able to fight back better next year.
I got news for you. They may not fight back against you guys. They fight back against some of us. Greg says, who's going to step up and take Stanley Morgan's spot next year?
Big.
That's a big loss. And you talk about a kid who worked hard. He went through a lot of different changes, wide receiver coaches, system changes. He continued to work, and he got better and better every year.
Well, I think it was great to see him come back for sure and put up the numbers that he had last year and better those numbers, not only for him personally going forward to the NFL, but also for the guys around him in that wide receiver room to say, here's a guy who was really good, but he even came back and he got better as he kept progressing his career. You know, I think, I don't know who's going to step up into his role. I think J.D. Spielman's going to have a lot of catches next year, just like, you know, he had this year. So that's one guy to think of, and
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, like Williams, Woodyard. You need the Williams, mm-hmm. the Woodyards, the McQuitties.
Even you got guys like Jack Stoll who came on late as a tight end position.
I like their tight end room with Legrone and Stoll, mm-hmm. and maybe McGriff and Austin Allen.
I'll throw Cade Warner in there. I know he's not going to be a burner that's going to run down the field in a 4-4, but he's going to be in the right spot and make plays if you give him a chance.
There's something to be said for being reliable. I don't undersell that.
Like, no.
I don't care what he looks like or how fast he runs. I like knowing outcomes.
Right.
And I like to know.
So do coaches.
If I throw that guy the ball or I call my, you know, jump 83 Y stick or whatever, that he's going to be somewhere, hey, I sleep better at night.
That's why he moved into the lineup in the first place, because they knew they could count on him to be where they needed him to be, whether that was blocking or anything.
And the whole program, I think, can count on a guy like Cade Warner knowing who his father is, because he's got that work ethic. He's seen his dad go through it up until the last few years.
IQ. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just in that family. So he's going to be in the right position at the right times, hopefully going forward for sure.
Can Nebraska win the Big Ten West and the Big Ten Championship next year or years after that without a great defense? And is an offense that scores 40 a game without a great defense enough to win it? Mm. You need a great defense? I think you need a good defense.
You need a defense.
You need a timely defense.
Yeah. Correct.
First, I think we got to define what a good defense is, especially in 2018.
Right.
Correct. Because this is not the 1995 Huskers that are going to pitch shutout after shutout after shutout. It's not going to happen anymore.
I tweeted out a stat today. I think caught some people off guard. Listen, I mean, the last 10 years, Alabama's single season passing record has been. It's been broken seven times since 2010. Three of those were by A.J. McCarron, Blake Sims, Tua Tagovailoa. And during that time, they've won 4 national championships. Yet we say things like, we want to run the ball and be tough physically like Alabama. They've thrown the ball now more than ever, and they're winning more national championships than ever. The key is timely defense. It's the turnover. It's the third down stop. We're not having this conversation near as much. If Nebraska gets that third down stoppage rate somewhere in the 34, 35 percentile, it's not about yards. It's about points, and you yield less points with more stops. So I think it has to be defined what good defense is.
And 21 points now, holding teams to 21 points nowadays, the defense is
a win.
Good, that's a win. Yeah. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, is Nebraska's defense averaging about 26.5?
Yeah. They were around, they had been around there in conference play. It's up a little bit overall, but it hadn't been, I'm not defending Nebraska's defense. I got to play better defense, right? But I think it's important because all the players that we talked about that we're super passionate about are all on offense, right? The J.D. Spillins, the Stanley Morgans, we talk about Adrian Martinez. Mm-hmm. And we saw Nebraska's offense when their star quarterback wasn't a star.
Right.
They had no J.D. Spielman, and they couldn't get the run game going. You think Coach Chenander isn't like, oh, that's how that works when you can't ride the coattails of really talented players combined with scheme. Like, I'm slow to judge what's going on defensively with Nebraska.
I think you got to limit. You just try to limit points. So if you can get a field goal rather than a touchdown, you get a turnover here and there. The other thing too is, you know, sometimes you just want the defense to have a long enough drive that the offense can get a break. So sometimes if they're so quick on a three and out, the defense is right back on the field. I know that was one of my worst things when I was playing defense, a quick three and out. It's like, man, we're going back out there again already, and this offense is even quicker than when we played.
It's funny how we forget about 2009.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good defense.
And I'm pretty
sure it's
really, really
good
offense. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what were we clamoring for?
Offense.
Oh, gosh, if we could just score.
If Nebraska had had an offense that year, they'd have won the Big 12, and they'd have been doing this. And I believe the head coach of that
team. Defense with the five-yard rule, and you can't touch wide receivers, and you can't hit guys in the face anymore. I mean,
defensive guys are getting
hosed. Best wishes with that.
Yeah. Good luck.
Miserable.
And the coach of that 2009 team had a very famous quote in a press conference. It's not about yards, ma'am. It's about points. It's not about yards, ma'am. It's about points. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Who cares how many yards the team gets?
Well, I'm down pretty sure Michigan scored 39 on Ohio State.
Yeah. Who? And got crushed because it didn't matter.
Are we talking about that? Nope.
So, Zach, when you look back on this, as we get close to wrap it up with you, and it's been great having you on, but when you look back on this 2018 season, do you look ahead and see a team that's giving you a reason for optimism for 2019 and beyond?
It'd be hard not to, I think. I think you have so many young guys and, you know, Mo Washington, Adrian Martinez, those are guys that you build, you know, if in NFL terms, a franchise around. And you know, them being young, we have them for at least two more seasons, if not three. And you build around those guys. Obviously, we got to, you know, do the backlog and get guys to replace them after a couple of years. But knowing next year, you can start doing so many different things with them in spring ball and then summer workouts and then into fall camp to make Nebraska's offense successful for sure.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show.
Super guy.
Great to be on. Damon's been resisting this for all year, and I said, no, we got to get Zach on.
So you say the best for last, almost.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the most humble. Still
yes,
a super
exactly.
guy.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Zach, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, another one of our favorites, Sean Callahan, will be here to talk recruiting. Before that, though, let's hear one more time how you can become a member of the NET Sports Partners Club.
Thanks, Kevin. We're taking another break from Big Red Wrap-Up to thank you for watching and supporting NET. We're here throughout the year bringing you great sports coverage like basketball, swimming, high school football, and volleyball too. Thank you for making it all possible as it's part of NET's commitment to the state and to its people. We've got some information now to invite you to join the NET Sports Partners Club to keep all the sports going here on NET.
Hey everyone, Perry Stoner here with Ian Vosburgh in the studio. It's very important that you give us a call. Here's your chance to say, yes, I want to help. The number to do that is call 800-989-8236 or online at netnebraska.org/donate. And we will welcome your membership with thank you gifts to choose from these thank you gifts to follow. First, for a $180 contribution, $15 a month, you can get the 6 DVD collection of Husker Century 1, 2, and 3, Coach Osborne, More Than Winning, and A Day in the Life of Husker Football, Walk-Ons, Husker Edge, and Tom Osborne, A Legacy Beyond the Game. That's for a contribution of $180, a great collection for any Husker fan. Or for $120 contribution, you can get the 3-disc DVD collection, Husker Century 1, 2, and 3. Just $10 a month and you'll get those 3 DVDs. Or also for $10 a month or $120 contribution, you can get the snazzy looking NET Sports Partners Club fleece. For $96 contribution, $8 a month, the pewter replica of Memorial Stadium. We just have very few of these left, so give us a call and support great programs on NET. 800-989-8236 or go online to netnebraska.org/donate.
You'll get more than the NET Sports Partners Club gift with your contribution of $60 or more. You'll also gain access to a great member benefit called NET Passport. NET Passport gives you extended on-demand access to a library of quality public broadcasting programs. We have more than 1,500 episodes of video to watch anytime. You can watch your favorite PBS shows like Nature or Austin City Limits and local NET programs as well. So when you join with a gift of $5 a month or more, you get the comfort of knowing you're supporting NET programs with the added bonus of seeing your favorite content online anytime, anywhere, on any device.
Big Red Wrap-Up is just one example of quality sports programming locally produced right here at NET. We brought you the Husker Century Football History Trilogy, Husker Century 1, 2, and 3, that we are offering as thank you gifts right now. And they tell the stories of the ups and downs of the team that we all love. And as you know, Nebraska has one of the nation's best volleyball teams too, Ian. How about three documentaries NET has produced on that topic? Dream Like a Champion, Destination Omaha, and Culture of a Champion. In-depth sports journalism and storytelling and hours each year of live sports action you see right here on NET, and it all happens because of your support.
Yeah, give us a call right now. The number to call is 800-989-8236, and you can enjoy the programs that you're watching by making a contribution by giving us financial support. We have a six-disc collection of Husker programs for $15 a month as an NET sustaining star. We have a three-disc collection of Husker Century Parts 1, 2, and 3 with your contribution of $10 a month. Also at that $10 a month level, we have the NET Sports Partners Club fleece jacket. And if you make a contribution of $8 a month, we have a nice pewter replica of Memorial Stadium, which would go great on your desk or as a stocking stuffer. The number to call is 800-989-8236 or go to netnebraska.org/donate. If sports are your thing, that's great, but you can be proud that when you support NET, you are providing programming and services that are benefiting thousands of your fellow Nebraskans all year long. We can't say it enough. Thank you. Now back for more on Big Red Wrap-Up. Please don't forget to give us your call, and thank you.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us tonight on Big Red Wrap-Up. I'm still Kevin Kugler. He, as always, is Sean Callahan. We've got a couple of things to talk about tonight, but first, we've got to talk about where Nebraska's running backs coach is this evening. There's some changes happening here.
Well, as well as Scott Frost, Wondell.
Can't recruit Rondale Moore as much as they'd like to.
Wondell Robinson, who is a very similar player to Rondale Moore, he was currently committed to Kentucky. Nebraska is currently in the home tonight, getting one last swing at Wondell Robinson. And he was a silent commit to Nebraska for a long time, came to the Akron game and committed behind the scenes. But then during the final 24 hours before going public, made a late switch to Kentucky. Well, Scott Frost, Ryan Held, they're going to get one more swing at him tonight. We'll see kind of where that goes. But one other thing to watch too, Kevin, is if Louisville hires Jeff Brohm, and I still think that could happen. A lot of people believe that's the case. I think Louisville is going to probably make a real run on him and get an opportunity because, Purdue right now has laid the blueprint for what Wondell Robinson wants to be.
Right.
And Rondale Moore, if Jeff Brohm goes, can't go to Louisville with him. So that would be a guy that obviously could really fit in if Jeff Brohm were to go to Louisville.
Yeah, no question about that. But it's good to see for Nebraska's sake that they're getting one last crack at a guy that they think they could use in a similar way to Rondale Moore.
And there's no question with J.D. Spielman obviously coming back, they still need another guy. I mean, you guys talked in the previous segment, what's Nebraska going to do after Stanley Morgan? Well, this would be a big, big piece, somebody that could come in and provide legitimate production as a true freshman.
Huskers have done a really good job in Georgia over the last few years. It's obviously an emphasis again this year, and they got Ronald Tompkins out of there. Let's talk about him as a Nebraska commit.
Yeah, Ronald Tompkins is one of three running back commits currently in the class, and you talk about Ryan Held. He got more commits in 1 year than the previous coaching staff did in 3 years. So he's done a pretty good job of identifying backs. Ronald Tompkins is from Grayson, Georgia, the Grayson program there in Georgia, one of the powerhouse programs. The one downside is he suffered a knee injury in the first half of the first game of the season. So the body of work right now for a guy like Tompkins is pretty limited at this point because he missed his entire senior season. But Nebraska very much still fully committed to him. He'll join a class with guys like Dedrick Mills, Ramir Johnson, maybe Rondale Moore. Not Rondale, Wondell Robinson, I keep saying. Wondell Robinson.
Yeah, Rondale Moore at nine different schools.
But he'll really give them another back, and it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out because they're bringing in a lot of running backs. Dedrick Mills, you have to figure, is going to factor in immediately day one. Everybody expects Maurice Washington to add that 15 to 20 pounds of good weight. So the running back position, as we know, with Adrian Martinez on top of that, is well on its way at Nebraska.
Yeah, now we'll see the Lions and everything else, how those improve over the next couple of years. Let's go from Georgia and come back in-state. Every week we talk in-state. Let's go to Norfolk tonight.
Yeah, Dylan Couts, somebody that we got to know pretty well here at NET, playing in multiple state championship games for Norfolk Catholic. Now, they came up short against Centennial here this year. They won it, though, the previous year on NET here. And, he's the fastest guy in the state when you break down his just straight-ahead speed. In the open 100 meters, he's a legitimate 10-6 type of kid. Right now, no offers as far as Power 5, FCS goes. Minnesota's given him what they call a maroon shirt offer, which is walk on for two, we'll give you a scholarship after the fact. And that's kind of a good salesmanship. It's essentially a way of dressing up a walk-on offer. Nebraska would tell a kid the same thing. If you're in the two deep, by the time you're a third or fourth year player, pretty good chance you're going to be on scholarship. And that's kind of what Minnesota's offered him. So for Dylan, he's got to decide. I think Nebraska's got a walk-on offer out to him. I think he could run track for Nebraska as well. So that would be something to watch, because he's definitely an athlete fast enough that could contribute here if he came for track and field and also played football.
Yeah, very interesting. Sean, thanks so much. Be sure to vote on this week's sideline survey question. Did this season turn out the way you thought it would? Percentages are rising for no. Played hard, but I thought they could have won a couple of more games. Damon's been on stuff in the ballot box for, I was always looking forward to the 2019 season anyway. That's been his mantra since the beginning of the year. I remember the first Big Red wrap-up. He said, I don't even know if I'm going to watch this season. Wait till 2019. Go to the wrap-up website and cast your vote. See if you can outvote Damon in our sideline survey.
It's not a lot of truth-telling on this.
Why is that not
said tonight?
That's not what you said?
No.
I mean,
I'm all about operating in the now. 2018.
Maybe it was
mattered.
Simple. I get you guys confused a lot.
Because we both have chickens.
Yes, exactly. That is true. Yeah. Sean, one thing I think people are, if you're not engaged in recruiting like the folks are on Husker Online on a daily, if not minute-by-minute basis, maybe they've forgotten that we're just a couple of weeks away from signing day, which is rapidly approaching.
Yeah, Wednesday, December 19th is when the early signing date is this year. You get 3 full weeks as coaching staffs to go into living rooms. You can visit a prospect once per week. A head coach is allowed 1 visit per prospect. So for Nebraska, Scott Frost is not going to be back in Lincoln more than maybe a day a week, if that. He is going to be hopping around the country. They have 21 guys committed right now. So just between the 21 commits, they're pretty busy, you know, not babysitting, but just maintaining relationships, talking to guys, making sure things are going well. So that's what you're doing. But then there's obviously the Wandell Robinsons. Eric Shenander today was in California talking to Vic Veramontos, the former Minnesota quarterback, now turned linebacker at the JUCO ranks. You have to think that maybe he's coming in for a visit here this month. So there's a lot going on still with recruiting, and it's going to happen fast. I mean, a lot of these guys will sign in December.
And how big a class are they going to take, do you think?
Well, then the number of scholarships they're going to have open is about 30. And that would include maybe room for a transfer, a grad transfer, you know, something like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if the February number is around 28, maybe 27. I think the number in December could be 24, 25. I think you want to have 3 to 4 spots available for February, but there's not going to be much left in February this year. I think after one full cycle now, most kids want to sign in December. There's even some kids that are going to sign in December and not go public with it maybe until later on after the Army All-American Bowl, et cetera. So that will be interesting to see, because schools will honor that. They won't release them on the signing list, et cetera, because I think a guy like maybe Ty Robinson or someone like that is going to play in the Army game but hold off, sign in December, and not announce until then.
If you guys, Jay and Damon, could decide one position that you could pluck a great guy, where's the one biggest position of need Nebraska has?
No-brainer for me.
Gosh dang. Can I get two?
Yeah, you can get two.
A stud 5-4 technique and outside linebacker.
Yeah,
those
D-line.
Are my two right there.
I'm D-line all the way. Yeah. Give me a D-tech. And in this defense, I think you have to be able to play, if you're going to be really good and functional, outside of nose, you got to be able to play maybe in a 2-eye, get in a 4 or 5, somewhere along outside of a nose, right? Because I don't know if they want to build around a nose. I think that you can get by with a good nose. but you need a disruptive four.
Yeah, I look at that. I mean, the 3-4 defense I was a part of was in San Francisco, we had really good first and second down, but you always had a guy like Justin Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy was, you know, he was a first rounder out of Missouri. I mean, he single-handedly took that defense in San Francisco. Obviously, he had a guy like Patrick Willis and the good guys in the secondary and Navarro Bowman, but he was that man. And you add Alden Smith to that mix. All of a sudden, you get that good outside linebacker, four technique, five technique. You're playing in the Super Bowl. You know, that's how important those two positions are.
It's interesting, too, because as an outside linebacker in this defense, if you're going to play in a two-point, it helps to be about 240, 245, where you can still play pullers, but you have to be able to run with number twos and number threes. It's very tough to do, and it's a tough guy to find. But if you're looking for a frame, it's a Caleb Tanner type.
He needs his Zach DeVall winner, doesn't he?
Very long arms, long legs. He's got a lot of room to get bigger, and he's got a nice long frame to do it.
The thing is, too, with the outside linebacker position, you have to be – it's very cerebral as well. You got to understand a lot more. You got to communicate now with secondary guys. You're telling the D lineman what to do. You got to – instead of just knowing as a D lineman, you're just like, okay, I got my gap. I'm listening for calls. You got to know the whole picture. You got to
see – especially if you spill.
Right. Oh, you got to – well, I mean, it's just – it's understanding, yeah, if you're force or you're contained force or spill, you know, whatever it is what – but you got to see the whole – you got to see the whole frame. Okay, why is this tight end here? Why is this – well, I guess fullbacks aren't really used anymore in college, but why is the fullback here? With the splits, is it a negative or positive split, you know, on the numbers? What are they trying to do, the communication? It's a lot. It took me 3 years. I'm not the brightest guy, but it took me 3 years to learn that position.
Is that defensive tackle that these guys think they need out there?
Well, Tony Fair's the JUCO body, and if you can get it where him and Damian Daniels could split that nose, and I mean, because Carlos Davis is not. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree. Not, I don't know if he's a true nose.
He's not.
And that showed when they played Michigan State and Iowa. His production went way down because he was going against elite level interior Big Ten offensive linemen. Damian Daniels, I don't think was in good enough shape to play more than 10 to 15 plays a game. They got to get him up there. And Tony Fair, I think, is the JUCO transfer at nose. That's 330 that needs to get himself ready to play.
And still, he needs to take it to another level now. Yeah. You know, he's
struggled against Iowa.
Yeah, he's played two straight years now. It's time to start producing.
Well, it'll be very interesting. And this will be a discussion I know that'll be had more next week than even this week, because we spent a lot of time on the Iowa game this week. And unfortunately, that ended Nebraska's season. It didn't end the season for Big Red Wrap-Up. We're back next week to recap the 2018 season with special guest Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com. However, I will not be back next week. 20 years ago, I got the chance to host a football show. It was on NETV then, called Big Red Wrap-Up. Little did I know just what a great opportunity that was going to be. Tonight wraps up my 20th and final season hosting this show, and it's been an absolute pleasure. We've wrapped up some good years. We've wrapped up a lot of bad years, especially recently, but I'm so grateful that so many of you allowed me and so many of us into your homes each Tuesday night over the years. Several members of my Big Red Wrap-Up family have passed in that span of two decades, notably my friends Adrian Fiala and our producer Jim Carmichael. But as I leave tonight, I leave with a lot of gratitude. This show is in great hands under the watchful eye of Joe Turco and producer Gavin Felix. And the people that work on this crew, in my opinion, are the best crew working in sports television. And sadly, for some of them, they've been around with me for these 20 years as well. I look forward to watching and staying involved with NET Sports in the future if they'll have me. And that's kind of up to Joe and Gavin. Big Red Wrap-Up, though, is not going anywhere. I'm excited to see where it goes with a new host in the years to come. Happy holidays. Thank you so much. And for the final time on Big Red Wrap-Up, good night.